This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
The Holy Spirit is going to administrate. Now, under the law, rules administrated. Rules administrated the Ten Commandments. But under grace, the very same Ten Commandments can be administered by the Holy Spirit. See, under the law, he says, honor your mother and father. And in the New Testament, he still says, honor your mother and father. So what's the difference? One is do it by rule keeping. The other one is do it by the administration of the Holy Spirit.
Look no further for encouragement to walk in the grace of God. The Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app provides rewarding content that is sure to nourish your mind and soul. Treat yourself to enriching messages from Pastor Dollar on grace and walking in the likeness of Christ. Download the Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app to stream messages of hope, grace, and understanding when you need them most.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
Everything God tells you to do, be holy, be perfect. Everything He tells you to do, every appeal He makes for you to live by, are void if you ignore His mercy and grace. Someone said, why are you coming to church? Because I need to come to church, because God ain't pleased if I don't come to church. That's not why I come to church. Amen. Well, Pastor, why do you come? Well, because you're the preacher? That's not why I come to church. There are several other things I can do. I don't have to be a preacher here. I come to church because at least I can do is what He want me to do. Amen. To carry out the will of God for His life. That's look at what He's done for me. Why would I want to rebel against somebody who's done so much for me? But I don't want to. I'm gonna do something else. I'm tired. I don't know where them people are. Why? No. God has done too much. And maybe you forgot about it. But if it wasn't for Him, you wouldn't be where you are right now. If it wasn't for Him, you would have died in that car accident. If it wasn't for Him, a whole lot of stuff would have been messed up if it wasn't for Him. Honey, God was carrying you when you thought you were walking all by yourself. Amen? Now, with that in mind, let's go to Ephesians, and let's see if we can put a dent in this series. Ephesians 4, verse 1. So now, it's not a hard thing now. You know, when God says, you know, don't do this, don't do that, watch out, stay out of gossip, don't be in bitterness, don't stay in unforgiveness, treat people the way you want to be treated. Okay, now, they're just not like certain commands and laws under the old covenant. Under this new covenant, God's already done it before I can do something to earn it. So out of honor, I'm ready to do what He appeals for me to do. Verse 1, I, therefore, Paul is talking here, the prisoner of the Lord. He says, now I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, without going back through the other two series, what is the calling that we've been called? Well, he says, I therefore. So I therefore simply means you got to go back to the previous chapters to find out all the stuff he did. Well, here's what he did in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. First of all, he made his mind up that he was going to take every believer and adopt them into his family.
So you are all sons and daughters of God if you have been born again, and if you are a believer, you are a son of God. Now, as a son of God, being born again is kind of like the royals over in England. You are born into royalty. There's nothing you can do to earn your way in, work your way in. You have to be born in. It is a privilege, okay? So when you get born again, you are automatically born into royalty. Glory to God. You're born into privilege. The Bible calls it Romans 5:2. You were born into undeserved privilege. It's just like the royals over in England. They don't deserve none of that. They were born into it. Just like you and I. We are born into undeserved privilege. Righteousness is an undeserved privilege. Holiness is an undeserved privilege. All that Jesus has done for you is undeserved. It came by God's grace. And he has called you as members of the royal family of God. Glory be to Jesus. Can I read to you 1 Peter 2:9 real quick before I get too far into this? 1 Peter 2:9-10 in King James and then NLT. He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So every Gentile, glory to God, that's born again, has been born into this undeserved privilege. So what is the calling? The calling is, glory be to God, it is everything that God's grace did for you to walk as members of the family with undeserved privilege, for you to have faith and to walk worthy of the undeserved privilege as sons and daughters that you get because you are a believer that you don't deserve, or you didn't earn it. And this is amazing to me because he said, now, I want you, therefore, to walk worthy of this undeserved privilege. Well, how do I do that? Walk worthy of this undeserved privilege. Now, a religious person will say, you got to do this in order to get the privilege. Now, the privileges have already been granted to you. Walk worthy of the righteousness that God says you already are. Walk worthy of the holiness that God says you already have. Walk worthy of the salvation that you were born by grace, okay? Born again by grace. Walk worthy of that. So all my Christian life, I thought that meant walk this way so you can be that way. It's the other way around. I was born that way. So I might as well learn how to match my birthright with my life. Match my birthright with my life. It's a whole different thing now, right? There's no fear and condemnation there. None at all. So look at this in the NLT real quick. Same one. But you are not like that. For you are chosen people. You are a royal priest. You're a royal priest. You're a holy nation. God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you've received God's mercy. That's who we are. So, here's what I'm going to look at for the rest of this time. What are the conditions of a worthy walk? Walk worthy, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Go there, Ephesians 4 and 1. Let's look at verse 1. He said, walk worthy of the vocation or the call. Walk worthy of the vocation of the call. Walk worthy of your undeserved privilege. Walk worthy of your admittance into the royal family. Walk worthy of it. Now, I don't forgot some of them boys' name over there in England, George and them. Let's just say George and them. I'm sure they were not really liking the fact that they, as royals, had to carry themselves a certain way. And I'm sure there were some that rebelled against carrying themselves a certain way. But after a while, once you realize you can't get out of it, oh, yeah, Lord, I heard that. Once you realize you can't get out of it, you're going to go ahead and cooperate and walk like you're supposed to walk. You're going to start allowing your life to match your call. So here's what's going to happen to some of y'all. Some of y'all listen to this and like, yeah, whatever, whatever. And then you go fall and you think God left you and he's still right there. And then you do something else crazy and you think he don't want to have nothing to do with you, and then a blessing show up. And then you did something else crazy and you thought I done blew that, and then you found out you didn't blow it. It was better than ever. And eventually you're going to realize, why you keep loving me like this? Why don't you leave me alone? He says, I can't leave you alone. I'm in covenant with you. And no matter what you do, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to leave you. My goodness and mercy is going to follow you all the days of your life. I'm not going to let you go. Anybody ever experienced that before? I'm not going to let you go. You go to a bar and try to get drunk, and then you start preaching about the grace of God. You start talking about who you are. And your buddies don't want to get drunk with you no more because you keep preaching. And they end up getting saved from your drunk preaching because you can't help it, because he's too good to you. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And eventually you'll say, you know what? Man, let me go on and get in line. Obviously, God's not going to leave me alone. And I thank God. I thank him that we have a Father that will not leave us alone. Religion tells you God going to leave you alone. Religion tells you you're going to run the Holy Ghost. Think about this. You know, you better be careful, because you're going to grieve the Holy Ghost. He's going to leave you. You think the little stuff you do, the Holy Ghost is so weak, he is grieved. Because your little potty mouth, that you're going to grieve the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has had more pottier mouths than you to deal with. And believe me, he is very, very strong and equipped to deal with potty mouths and potty everything else. You bring all the nasty you want to bring to the Holy Ghost, and he's still an Ajax that you cannot get rid of. I know you want to hear something else. You want to hear me talk about, you got to sweat to get this, and you got to work to do this. And I keep telling you, you don't bring nothing to the table. God doesn't need you to be who he is, but we do need him to be who we are. I'm telling you now, he's powerful, praise God. Well, that's heresy. He's not going to let you go. He's got a plan for your life. He's wired you for a certain way. And honey, when God knows how to get you when he wants to get you. You understand? God knows what you got to go through in order to be able to bow down on your bended knees and lift your hands up and say, I yield, I yield, I yield. God knows how to do that. Now, it's up to you to determine how much more of that stuff you want to go through. I'm good. I don't have to spend my time trying to get God, you know, to try to convince him that, Lord, I can do this on my own. That's where the law came from. Read the book of Exodus. They came down from the mountain, and they said, you know, God said, do this and do that. And they said, we can do everything that God said. And he's like, really? Really? You think you can do this all by yourself? Okay, I'm going to give you 10 commandments that are designed to cause you failure. And these 10 commandments are not designed to bless you. I'm going to give you, with the 10 commandments, 600 and some more laws. And you think you can do this without me? Here's the law. And these laws are designed to bring you down and to bring you to the end of yourself. Until you one day recognize that you need a Savior. The law wasn't given to bless you. You can't keep none of it. It was given to hurt you. It was given to bring you down. And here we are in the church trying to live by something that was given to break us down. Until we can lift our heads up and say, okay, God, I'm just playing. We need you. And that's what he wanted them to say in the first place when he brought that request down. Oh, Lord, we can't do this without you. And that's the thing, as your pastor, when I travel around the world, that's the thing I try to
I'm trying to teach people, but they're so embedded in the religion of, you know, if I do this, then God will do that. And God was like, bruh, I've already done that so you can do this. You see what I'm dealing with? And then when they hear it, this is the funny thing. It ain't funny, but when somebody who just got baptized in water, they still dripping, they ain't even dry yet, they want to come and say, well, that ain't what my Bible say. You don't even know how to read it yet. And then when you learn how to read it, you got to learn how to rightly divide it. And then when you learn how to rightly divide it, you got to understand that everything in the Old Testament is a shadow and a picture. And some people have settled for the shadow. You're just living by shadows. And you arguing about what day is the real Sabbath day. Well, the real Sabbath day is Friday. It's Saturday. It's Sunday. And you fussing about a shadow instead of discovering who is casting the shadow. And Jesus is the real. The Old Testament, the Sabbath is a shadow. Jesus is the real. He's the one that's casting the shadow. All of the Old Testament is shadow. But when you recognize, oh, now Jesus is what's casting the shadow of the Old Testament, because he couldn't show you Jesus right away because you wasn't ready for him. So he had to take you revelation point by revelation point until you can see you can't do this by yourself. You create all these religions. You come up with everything you got to do. Every religion requires you to do something in order to get something from God, except Christianity was supposed to be a relationship where he can finally give you all he wanted you to do. Whew. Oh, I'm tired. And the proof will be in the pudding. Why do you want to sweat? Why do you want to develop relationship with the shadow when you can have access to the real? Jesus said, these scriptures, referring to the Old Testament, they speak of me. They speak of me. Now, Jewish people got really confused for a while, and I understand why. Because Jesus showed up and he says, I've only come to preach this gospel to the household of Israel. And then they went to Cornelius' and them house. He says, all right, it's available to the Gentiles. What was he doing? He was just laying it out. It was progressive revelation. Progressive meaning he knew the big plan from the foundation of the world, but he couldn't drop it. You remember when he told the disciples, he said, I got some stuff to say and show you, but you can't handle it right now. And 42 years ago, I preached this? 42 years ago, they would have shot me on a gallop. It had to be progressive. Okay? All right, now I think they're ready for the Holy Ghost now, okay? All right, Jesus came and did everything in the law and the prophets and then turned around and said, Luke 16:16, he said that the Old Testament ended with John. John is the last. John 16:16, the law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses in on it. And then he got up in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he said this fabulous scripture that everybody missed. He says, okay, now, repent and believe the gospel. Or he says, because the kingdom of God has come. What was he saying? We thought it was a salvation thing. Repent. Ask God to forgive you, because the kingdom of God is at hand for you to get saved. That ain't what he was talking about. He was saying, repent. You know what the word repent means? It means to change the way you're thinking about what you're thinking about. You were thinking about the law. You were thinking about everything you learned about the law. But now that the kingdom has come, I need you to change your thinking from the law to this gospel of grace. Uh-huh. That's what he's saying. And we thought it was, repent, I'm sorry, save me, because the kingdom of God is at hand. That's not what he was talking about. But he was trying to lay it out. I couldn't have said that. What I just said to you, I couldn't have said that 20 years ago. But I can prove it right now. And you go back and look at it, you'll say, God, dog, there it is right there. It means change your thinking. Change your thinking about what you thought. Why? Because a new and living way is now at hand. Repent doesn't mean I'm sorry. You need to repent. You know, what does it look like? You need to repent. You need to repent for what you did. You need to be sorry for what you did. That's not what repent means. Repent means literally to change the mind. Uh-huh. Change your mind about what you got from the teaching of the law. And I want you now to look, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel is what he said, didn't he? He said, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. And we couldn't hardly get that, because religion said, say you're sorry and get saved so you don't go to hell. But that's not what he said. Change your mind and believe the gospel. Change your mind and believe. That blew my mind. I'm thinking, how am I going to preach this? You should have saw me the night before the first sermon I was going to preach on the grace of God. Oh, my God, everybody's going to leave. And that almost happened. And I said, well, if they leave, Lord, I know you told me. I know you told me. I said, they'll leave. They'll be back. It just take a little time. A progression needs to take place. Because what happens is you'll leave and you'll continue to try to live like you've been living, and you'll notice it ain't working. How many of y'all realize that? It's like, this ain't working. This ain't working. I done poured a whole bottle of oil on my head, and it ain't working. It ain't working. I got the Ten Commandments in every room in my house. I'm doing everything they tell me to do. It ain't working. I call those things that be not as though they were. But you didn't understand it needed to be in your heart before you call it out. Progression, progression. And then he progresses up here, and then he says, all right, now I fulfilled the law. It's time for me to go. But I won't leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you the seal for the inheritance. So you thought the Holy Ghost, oh, we done dogged the Holy Ghost. Oh, we got the Holy Ghost, you know, the Holy Ghost. Moving all in my soul. The Holy Ghost. Moving all. And heaven's like, okay, that's not quite why the Holy Ghost was sent. It's bigger than that. We're glad you're enjoying it. We're glad you enjoy the presence and the feeling. But his job is way, way bigger than that. He is the seal to all of the mercy of God that was presented for you. It's to seal your sonship. Seal you, glory to God. You didn't have the blood, but you got the Holy Ghost, and he will seal that relationship. And he'll show you things to come. And he'll show you wisdom. And he's going to lead you, and he's going to guide you. He's going to be your new conscience.
How can Christians walk worthy of Christ? In Creflo Dollar's four-part series, The Worthy Walk, he reveals how to keep Satan at bay and be seen as faultless.
What he wants you to do is recognize his work of grace and want to harmonize your life in line with what he has done. You walk where God is, because you are in Christ and he is in you. You are continuously forever cleansed because you're in Jesus Christ and you are in the light, and in the light, you can never be in darkness again.
This revelation-filled series is available for a love gift of $25 or more for CDs or $35 or more for DVDs. Accept Jesus' finished works today. Call the number on your screen, scan the QR code, or visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org and click eStore.
You can interact with Creflo Dollar Ministries anytime, anywhere. All of this is at your fingertips with our state-of-the-art custom-designed app. With the broadcast feature, you can access your favorite messages, sermon series, and more. Add events to your calendar, set reminders, get directions, share with friends, and even give securely through this platform. Visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org/app or text APP to 51555 today.
We want to be sure we are living according to what God has taught us about giving. And we understand that giving and receiving is a spiritual law. It's a reflex of God's love. And I'm so glad that Taff and I begin to understand how to walk in this principle. But we give not out of necessity. We give out of a cheerful heart. We give because we're grateful and we're thankful to what God has done. You know, I want you to pray about becoming a giver into Creflo Dollar Ministries today. And if this ministry has blessed you in any way, consider sowing a seed of any amount, and we will greatly appreciate it. Thank you in advance for your support, and God bless you.
Your financial donations into this ministry work all over the world to change countless lives. If you'd like to support our efforts to save the lost, you may call in or visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org today. God bless you.
There is a purpose for your life. Introducing Grace Life Academy, an innovative approach to learning God's Word. Grace Life Academy offers unlimited access with hundreds of hours of online teachings. You'll have access to comprehensive video Bible lessons that include features such as e-courses, study guides, an online community, quizzes, and more. Text GLA to 51555 or go online to mygracelifeacademy.com.
The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.